Today is the feast of the octave day of the Nativity of our Lord. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us in order that, rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people pursuing good works. Thus speak and exhort in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 21. At that time, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This feast of the octave day of the Nativity is a very ancient one. So I'm going to give you the history of how it came to be in the Catholic Church. January 1st, the first day of the new year, has been that day, this day, since the Roman Empire. So that means what everybody around the world was doing last night, vast millions of people of over-celebrating and committing terrible sins. Revelry, carousing, drunkenness, sins that you hear St. Paul condemn in other epistles throughout the year. That's what was going on last night, as you know. We are hoping that none of that stained your consciences last night. But because this night of January 1st, or the night before, New Year's Eve, and then January 1st, was a pagan festival and celebrated with such terrible things, the church, from the time of the apostles, had no special mass on this day. In fact, it was not a feast day. In fact, they forbade any special feast or celebration on this day because they did not want the Christians in any way partaking and getting caught up with the pagans in their evil practices. And in fact, it was in some areas of the world, different parts of Europe, the bishop imposed fast and penance on January 1st to make up for the sins of the pagans and also to keep the Christians safe. And other dioceses, they would not allow the word Alleluia to be said today. However, because of the devotion of the people and the progression in terms of liturgical thinking and perfection, as you know, what the Holy Mother, the Church, does is take pagan days, secular days, and Christianize them. And so that's what happened. And so on the octave day, this day, they started celebrating masses and having special feasts. And the name of this day, Octave Day of the Nativity, goes back to the 2nd century. And in some ways, it's the oldest feast honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, we always hear the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary is our most ancient feast, but liturgically speaking, it's really this day. Because Christmas is so great in terms of its impact on the entire world, all civilization, all nations, that the Savior of the world is born to save his people from their sins. That it is celebrated 8 days after Christmas, culminating on this day. It is also a feast, and it used to be called this even back in the 1950s, going back many centuries, the Feast of the Circumcision of Our Lord. So, the three feasts honored on this day, Octave Day of the Nativity, Circumcision of Our Lord, and then the Solemnity of the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But Holy Mother, the Church has decided on the Octave Day of the Nativity as the most important because it summarizes what this day symbolizes and reenacts. The readings, in case you are more attentive to the readings of the Mass when you read your Missal, they come from the Masses of Christmas Day and also from votive Masses of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because she is key by God's providence in the salvation of the world. This perfect, humble woman, we would think of her today as an older girl, maybe about 15. By her consent, at the invitation of St. Gabriel the Archangel, the Son of God became man in her womb and was born into this world 9 months later on Christmas Day. It changed history, changed all civilization, changed reality, and gave us an opportunity, a chance, if we desire to get to heaven. Now, we spoke a moment ago why it's called the Octave Day of the Nativity, to reemphasize the birth of Christ 8 days later. In terms of the Feast of the Circumcision, as you know, that was a command given by God to Moses, to the Israelites, to perform this act on the organ of generation in men 8 days after they were born. And it was something that our Lord did not have to undergo, being God. But he fulfilled the law. That's what he and the Blessed Virgin Mary did, even though they were not subject to the law. Because those laws were for keeping people away from sin. But he subjected himself to this. It's said that either the priest in the temple performed this rite, or even St. Joseph might have done it. But it was a sort of precursor to baptism, of dying to oneself. And so when this was done, of course, the infant Jesus shed his first drops of blood and experienced pain, beginning to make up for our sins. And also, that was the day, according to the Mosaic law, that the children would be given a name. So his name was, by the message of the angel, his name was Jesus. The emphasis on the name of Jesus is honored and celebrated tomorrow on the January 2nd, or on the Sunday in other years, Sunday between January 1st and the Feast of the Epiphany, to have a special feast just honoring the name of God. That's why you see it in the world, you hear it from fellow employees, relatives, taking the name of Jesus in vain. Very, very bad. Never take the name of Jesus in vain. Never use it as a way to express anger or anything not fitting the name of God. It's to be revered. Why do we have these masses? Honoring, worshiping God, reenacting the passion, death of Christ. But why the liturgical aspects throughout the year? Why so many details in terms of the readings and the symbolism? Because God wants to transform us. By his coming, he transformed the world. But are we following him? Are we giving our hearts to Jesus after he gave his life for us? Are we doing that? This new year, as is the custom, is putting out a new calendar and thinking, okay, what am I going to do to become a better person? And millions of people do this, the proverbial New Year's resolutions. I just read that within a day, 90% of Americans break their resolutions. So it doesn't mean much. It's just sort of almost a joke. Not for Christians. There's a way to Christianize and perfect this practice of New Year's resolutions. Make promises to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother to root out your predominant fault, whatever it is. That particular sin that you've been committing, struggling against, confessing over this last year. That's a serious resolution for the new year. Whatever is separating you from God and becoming more perfect, that's the resolution you must make. Sometime in the near future, I might speak about it more, but many of you have heard of Father Lassans, a priest of the mid-1900s, who wrote many books, compiled books, wrote books of prayers, even a missal. Well, he wrote a book called The Prayer Book for Religious. Now, as soon as you hear that, okay, that doesn't apply to me. That's for priests who are religious and for nuns. Whenever someone says, I'm going to be religious. Well, being a devout Catholic is being religious. People, saints, for centuries, who are not priests or brothers or women religious, became saints because they were devout and they were religious. And you must have a religious spirit, one of piety, one of humility, so that the words that you hear from the pulpit are not just in one ear and out the other. Now we're here, we stand up here, all the priests do, to change your hearts. Change your minds to the mind of Christ. That your hearts are deeply attached and moved by the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That when you come to Mass, it's not a drudge or just out of obligation, or not to be harangued by relatives. Because when it comes down to it, nothing matters but the Son of God, your relationship, individual, between yourself and God. How you worship Him, how you adore Him, how you thank Him, how you tell Him you're sorry for your sins, how you beg for help every day. Do you ever have an intention, a great need, and you get on your knees and beg God for help? Not just asking, but begging. I had to do that a couple of days ago, some great need. Every Christian, but especially every priest, must get on his knees and pray from his heart. Something very important, very serious that I had to pray for. You must do the same. Now, we want to read this. We did this many years ago to show you what Christians did about 500 years ago, 450 to 500 years ago in England, when after King Henry VIII made himself the head of the church in England because of his worldly lusts and debauchery. And then it continued with Queen Elizabeth I. forbade Catholics from attending a mass, kept priests out of England, arrested Catholics, put them in prison, put them to death with horrific ways of doing it. All from the devil, of course. Those were the practices of supposedly the most civilized country in the world at that time. So what did the Christians do, these Catholics? They had to be very clever to keep their faith alive, especially among the children. And that is a reminder for parents. It's too bad not all the parents are here, to take it very seriously about instructing your children in the faith. The reason we don't have catechism every week is because of the indifference of parents over the last 10, 15 years. Some of you may remember, we had catechism every Tuesday night. But so many excuses came up, can't come, and then the attendance dropped off so much that we realized we can't do this. Sports and school plays come before the Catholic faith in these families, so that's why it's once a month. So that means in our time, you must set aside time in your schedule to teach your children. But here is what the Christians did in England. They came up with a song, a Christmas carol, that all of you know. It's called The 12 Days of Christmas. The 12 days, meaning from the feast of Christmas, December 25th, to the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6th. And in fact, in Europe, on the Feast of the Epiphany, that is when gifts are given and exchanged in memory of what the three wise men, the three kings, the gifts they offered to the Holy Infant. So as you know, it begins, on the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me . And I'm going to read what those phrases mean, because they made up this somewhat, and some people may think it's annoying to hear the same verses over and over again, and the same melody. It's not really that very beautiful type of Christmas carol, but when you realize the reason it's repeated over and over again is to teach the children the faith. So the 12 days is Christmas to Epiphany. My true love, that is God the Father. And he sent to me, my true love sent to me, that's the baptized soul. The partridge symbolized Jesus Christ. Symbolically presented as a mother partridge, which feigns injury to decoy predators from her helpless nestlings. And the tree, the crucifix. The second day, remember, on the second day of Christmas? So they took the numbers. It's the Old and the New Testament. The third day, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The fourth day, the four Gospels. The fifth day, the Pentateuch, that is the first five books of the Bible, telling of man's fall from grace. The sixth day, the 6 days of creation. the seventh day, the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. The eighth day, the Beatitudes. The ninth day, the nine fruits of the Holy Ghost, as taught in the catechism of that time. They didn't have listed as 12 because that number has varied over the centuries. And those nine fruits were charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, generosity, faithfulness, mildness, and continency. 10th day, the Ten Commandments. The 11th day, the 11 faithful apostles. And the 12th day, the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. Now, the enemies of the Christians in England didn't know what these children were singing. They just sounded like nonsense, the way we've always thought it to be. We had no idea. But it was repeated, and that song and those verses repeated over and over again to drill into the minds of the children, to remind them of these articles of faith, because their parents would tell them what these numbers meant. And that's how they kept their faith alive during the decades and centuries of persecution in England. The reason I say this is because right now we are free to come to Mass. No obstacles to worship. Is that going to continue? There are people in the world, agents of Lucifer, people high in government, who want to stop priests from not only teaching doctrine but condemning error. It's already happening. It's happening at our borders, Canada. What we say from this pulpit cannot be said in Canada. Priests can be arrested, as I've told you. So on this first day of the new year, pray fervently. Think of what you've experienced this last year, all the joys, but also the sufferings you've had to endure. Our Father Superior last night, just before midnight, was saying to us, "I've had a lot of sufferings in 2018. Let's pray that 2019 will be a happier year." All according to God's providence. And that should be your prayer, I'd say. To be abandoned to God's providence. And to give you a preview of what it means to be a religious, to be religious, it means to give up your will, surrender your will to God, surrender your will to your neighbor. That's the beginning. So we want to wish all of you, on behalf of our Father Superior, who usually offers this Mass, as you know, all the priests, seminarians, the sisters, a most blessed new year. One we hope is going to be happy for you, but also more prayerful, more recollected, less attached to the world, and more attached to God in heaven. May God bless you.